They have not stopped violence. In fact, they have increased the levels of violence.
Deadly violence in Myanmar as a peace treaty anniversary passes. It's Monday, March 1st. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, a landmark social media law. Clubhouse redefines online speech. Space news and walking safely in New York. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Security forces in Myanmar fired on protesters Sunday, killing at least 18 people and leaving more than 30 others injured in the deadliest day of demonstrations since the February 1st military coup. That's according to the UN Human Rights Office. A statement from the UN Human Rights Office called on the military to immediately halt the use of force against peaceful protesters. The new U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, tweeted, "We stand in solidarity with the people of Burma, who have displayed determination and courage in rejecting this military coup," as she used another name for Myanmar. Popular protests have been held across Myanmar on a daily basis since the military detained de facto leader Aung San Suu Kyi and other members of the civilian government last month, claiming widespread fraud in last November's election, which Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy Party won in a landslide. The junta has declared a one-year state of emergency, as Myanmar's Electoral Commission denied the military's claim of election fraud. Meanwhile, turbulence remains in Afghanistan. The Taliban and the United States signed a peace agreement on February 29th last year. But a year later, it remains unclear if U.S. troops will be leaving Afghanistan. Bejan Hamdard reports.
The four-point peace agreement followed months of talks and came after nearly two decades of war in Afghanistan. The United States agreed to withdraw all of its troops from Afghanistan by May 1st if the Taliban upheld its commitments. However, some analysts say the agreement is in jeopardy.
We're getting to a point in just a few weeks on May 1st when, according to the U.S.-Taliban deal, U.S. forces should be out of the country, that they are all remaining U.S. troops are meant to leave the country. Assuming the Taliban has upheld its commitments, the U.S. will probably argue the Taliban has not upheld its commitments. The Taliban will say that it has.
The Taliban maintain they have honored the deal by reducing their military operations and not killing any Americans.
After the agreement, everyone has witnessed, including our dear country and countrymen, that before the agreement, we used to carry out major attacks on intelligence and military bases. But after the agreement, these operations have stopped.
According to a February report by the United Nations, more than 8,800 civilian casualties were documented in 2020, of which 3,035 were deaths. Representative Michael Watts says that demonstrates the Taliban have failed to honor the agreement.
They have not stopped violence. In fact, they have increased the levels of violence, both to the Afghan National Security Forces and to the Afghan people. We've seen repeated attacks around the country.
The intra-Afghan negotiations between the Afghan government and the Taliban, which started in September of 2020 in Doha, are moving at a slower pace than expected, as the two sides discuss issues such as women's rights and freedom of the press.
According to the Afghan constitution, all Afghans are equal, both men and women. But the Taliban say they want to implement Islamic women's rights. But what is Islamic women's rights? Well, anyone can have their own interpretation of Islamic and Sharia laws.
As the negotiations continue, so does fighting as the country marks 19 years at war. Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. Russia seeks to strengthen old ties with Myanmar junta. Myanmar doctor prevented from treating wounded protesters. Dozens of Hong Kong Democrats charged under national security law. Powerful countries come under fire at UN Human Rights Council. Chinese investment in Australia plummets amid tensions. You'll find these stories and much more on Facebook at VOA Asia. And stop by our VOAnews.com website. We continue with VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Australia's federal parliament late last week gave its final approval to a law to make Google and Facebook pay for news content posted on their platforms. The legislation is the first of its kind in the world, as we hear from Phil Mercer in Sydney.
The News Media and Digital Platforms Mandatory Bargaining Code gained final parliamentary approval Thursday and will soon become law when it's formally approved by Governor-General David John Hurley. The legislation is designed to make Facebook and Google pay for news items on their platforms, but government amendments allow them to negotiate financial deals with Australian news organisations. If that process fails, the digital platforms would be forced into arbitration. Much has changed in the past few days. Last week, Facebook blocked Australian users from sharing or viewing news stories on its platform. The move was a direct challenge to the Australian government over contentious social media regulation. The ban had widespread implications. According to a Reuters Institute report, up to 40% of Australians turned to Facebook for news between 2018 and 2020. Facebook insisted that media companies benefited the most from this arrangement because it increased internet traffic and revenue to their websites. Traditional media companies complain that Facebook and Google were profiting from their journalism without paying for it. There followed a tense standoff between one of the world's most successful technology companies and senior ministers in Canberra. Days of negotiations led to concessions on both sides, and Facebook reversed its news blackout in Australia. The head of Australia's Competition and Consumer Commission, Rod Sims, says he hopes the legislation will curb the immense power of the two dominant digital platforms.
Google and Facebook need media, but they don't need any particular media company. And that meant media companies couldn't do commercial deals with Facebook or Google. The purpose of the code is to give them the potential for arbitration, which helps their bargaining position and therefore helps them reach fair commercial deals.
Google had threatened to withdraw its primary search engine from Australia. Analysts have said that Facebook's ban last week on Australian news content was intended as a warning to lawmakers in other parts of the world, including Britain and Canada, who are watching carefully Australia's attempt at social media regulation. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Happening now in Asia, China's foreign ministry spokesperson Wang Wenbin said that Indian and Chinese troops have completed a pullout from a lake area on their disputed border in the Western Himalayas. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad you're with us today as we begin a brand new week on VOA Asia. And there's a new player in the social media web space. You may know it. It's called Clubhouse. But unlike other social media platforms, this one is not just open to anyone. It swept across many areas, including China. Maria Prue looked into why the platform became so popular so fast.
New York Times best-selling author Rahaf Harfouch is hosting a discussion on a new social media platform called Clubhouse. She spends at least 2 to 3 hours a day there, hosting 3 weekly shows, co-hosting others, and listening to others still.
There are chefs and movie producers and entrepreneurs and artists and writers and athletes, and everybody is like finding their own group, and everyone is thinking about how they can contribute.
Harfouch says the most interesting discussions happen in closed groups. But even in open rooms, there's plenty to listen to. Shows hosted by people like Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, or Jared Leto.
Thanks for inviting me up. It's good to hang with all of you.
All right, Vlad. What really happened? Give us the inside scoop.
The network is invite-only, and for now is only available on iPhones. The platform doesn't allow recorded discussions, unless the speaker gives a special permission to have the talk recorded. However, the users violate the rule way too often. In recent weeks, the number of Clubhouse users skyrocketed from 600,000 to 8 million, pushing the company's value to $1 billion.
This really enables people to have a real-time audio experience, much like a group chat, like over voice, but you might be connecting with people you don't know yet, or you might be connecting with existing friends.
Ouyang has so far counted almost 30 similar Clubhouse competitors, and by the end of the year, he expects there to be more than 100. One big downside is privacy issues. Users should always assume they are being recorded. For now, Clubhouse is free, but experts say in future, the company might consider premium accounts, paid subscriptions, and advertising. Maria Bruce for VOA News, Washington.
Since successfully landing on Mars last week, the U.S. space agency NASA's Perseverance rover has been thrilling Earthlings with images and sounds recorded from the Martian surface. VOA's Arash Arabasadi has been listening in.
After 7 months hurtling through space, NASA's six-wheeled Perseverance rover landed on Mars. The U.S. Space Agency released this video showing the first high-quality images of the spacecraft landing on the red planet. Its navigation cameras captured this 360-degree view of the landing site. Scientists also equipped Perseverance with two microphones. One of them was activated for landing and failed, but NASA managed to capture this audio of Martian wind just after touchdown. Dave Gruhl is a team lead at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. He says this latest finding can help sustain the rover and its mission on Mars.
The noise is an incredible thing that engineers can use to basically detect the health of moving systems. If we get a snapshot of an actuator today, and you can compare over time, do another snapshot, another audio file of that actuator in the future, compare the two and see if there's anything that can be learned in terms of the health of that device.
In addition to the microphones, NASA equipped Perseverance with a record 25 cameras. Other technology on board may help NASA's Artemis Lunar Exploration Program that recently suffered a setback while testing its Space Launch System moon rocket. Former NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine says it's all part of a process.
This was a successful day. We didn't get everything we wanted, and yes, we're going to learn and we're going to have to make adjustments. But again, this is a test, and this is why we test.
Finally, a doorbell camera in Alberta, Canada, captured this video of a bright meteor passing by. The American Meteor Society commented, "The brighter the fireball, the more rare the event." Parts of the United States saw it too. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
A string of subway crimes has prompted a New Yorker to start a program to safely escort subway riders in his neighborhood. A Black Lives Matter activist now has hundreds of volunteers to help him. Nina Veshneva reports, Anna Rice narrates.
They gather together as the sun goes down, sometimes in pairs, sometimes in larger groups, depending on the day. Groups of New York City residents who help keep people safe in some of the city's most unsafe neighborhoods. Founder of Safe Walks NYC, Peter Carey, says it may take time to see the impact of their work.
It will take a while. You know, things that like this that you know start organically take a while. It will take several months. People just need to see that there's progress.
Carey says he and his volunteers don't want to become some kind of volunteer police force to keep the city safe. Their only task is to help people walk home safely.
We are not following the traditional methods people go by when setting up security infrastructures, whereby it's a man who is determining what they feel is safe for a woman. We're having women at the forefront speaking and saying this is how things can be done to enable us to feel safe.
The volunteers are working to expand how and where they offer help. From Univisionova in New York, Anna Rice, VOA News.
That's our program. Thanks for listening to VOA Asia. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube until we come back at the same time tomorrow. We also thank our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a super day ahead. Be safe. Be well.